1240 AM WSBC. Welcome back, folks, to another week of the Hoolies Hoolie Radio Hour. This show is presented to you by the Cork and Kerry Irish Pub. There's one in Beverly and in Bridgeport here in Chicagoland. Fox's Beverly Pizza, finest thin crust pizza on Western Avenue.
Yep.
Go get some, especially on parade day this coming week, coming up here on the south side.
Yep.
Sunday, the 13th, I believe.
That is correct.
Flood Brothers Disposal. Gonna be a lot of garbage on that day as
Tons.
Well.
You'll see
a lot of garbage on that day.
They work their butts off.
Call the Flood Brothers if you need it picked up. Guinness Irish Stout. Guinness is good for you.
Yep.
My name's Patty Houlihan. I'll be your host all hour. Joining me as always is my twin brother, Billy.
Hello, how are you? What's going on?
Hi, Bill. And we're missing him this week, Clayton O'Brien. He's the greatest person in the world, but he's on daddy duty tonight.
He's on daddy duty.
He's watching the kiddos.
Yeah.
He will be missed.
Yep.
But welcome, everybody. I hope everyone's getting geared up and ramped up for the parade.
Yeah.
Bill, you're going to be working the parade this year.
I'm working Forest Park, and I thought, dude, you know, the pandemic hit. Now, I had worked a
parade.
You know, 2020 was the last parade that they had there.
Mm-hmm.
All right. It was 2020. When did the pandemic start? I'm like losing it. Like, was it right in March of 2020?
The rumblings of it started in February of 2020.
So that was, for me, going to be the last year ever that I agreed to do it.
Mm-hmm.
I had the previous year, I refused to work it.
Mm-hmm.
I said, absolutely not. I was given a shift from 8 till 3 o'clock in the morning. I said, nope.
Yeah.
And she said, well, what do you mean, no? And I said, I will refuse to work the shift. She's like, well, then I'm never ever going to put you on parade day again. I go, that'd be fine.
Yeah.
All right. And then
most bar owners would be saying, I'll never put you on at all.
Either. Yeah, that's fine. But here's the thing. I had been there. I was the seniority bartender there. And I'm like, why do I have to work the shift that's the hardest shift of the evening?
Pardon me. Are you the bartender or the seniority bartender?
I'm
the seniority bartender.
So I don't know. You know, I mean, I'm glad it's done. But then this year, you know, and then last year was, we didn't have a parade. But then this year, my buddy called me and he was like, I need you to come out of retirement. Please.
And it's supposed to be very nice.
67 and sunny, I guess.
Which means the freaks will come be out.
Yeah. Maybe we should play that later on. The freaks get them out at night. You know?
In honor of St. Patrick's Day, yes. The freaks come out at night.
They sure do. at about like... Well, you'll see some freaks at the... There's always freaks at the parade.
There's
like,
freaks at any parade.
It's good people watching. I remember like...
How do you define freak, though?
Any guys, crazy hair, drunk.
Oh, crazy hair makes you a freak now, huh?
Missing teeth.
Missing teeth makes you a drunk. Okay.
Loud. That guy
I
could
said
be a
missing
freak.
Teeth makes you a drunk. No, well, might make you a drunk. Make you a drunk quicker because that booze is getting down the gullet faster. But it doesn't make you a freak if you drink.
No. But there's lots of people that turn into freaks after they have some drinks.
You're right, Billy. It is a wild day. In the past, we've read on this program
the blotters from all that years ago. That's right. We used to always read that.
Maybe we'll have to bring that back this year.
For sure, because this year, I mean, I can only imagine how insane it's going to be. At least downtown.
We say that. I don't think it's going to be.
Here's the thing.
I don't think anyone's going to go to the downtown parade.
I don't know what's going to be low turnout. Yeah, right. I don't know what to think of what's going to happen. For the Forest Park Parade. And Elmhurst is doing their parade this weekend as well.
Mm-hmm.
That's a big, big... That's very much more to me. That's the family parade.
Right.
I mean, Elmhurst, they put a great parade on. They have their neighborhood Irish bars and stuff that, you know, but it never gets super out of control.
No.
All right? It's fun, and it's packed, and then, like, people are, you know, drinking like crazy, but it doesn't get, like, freaky.
Yeah, it doesn't get freaky.
In Forest Park, we're too close to the city, and we're too much in the middle of the north and south side.
Okay.
So you get some weird, like, you know, I think that this year, you know, maybe people won't want to go downtown, but they'll be like, I'll go to a suburban parade. I don't want to do it the city. And then that's when it's going to get freaky.
Right.
I mean,
I don't want to go downtown. I want to go to them woman suburban parade.
Suburban.
Because I hear they get freaky.
Yeah. I mean, like. Now, all of a sudden, I just thought of the song, you know, Freak Me, Baby, that we played a couple weeks ago.
By Keith Sweat?
There's lots of guys. No, it wasn't Keith Sweat. Gosh, I can't believe
Silky
it
was, or Silk. Something like that?
Silk. But, like, thinking about, like, I don't know what to expect this year. I'm 42, and I just don't have the patience anymore. So I'm like,
why did you agree to do it?
Because, that's why I don't understand.
Because it's hard to turn down the opportunity of possibly making about $500.
No, it's not. It's not hard. It's easy to turn that down. There's a part of you that still yearns for it. It's like an addiction. Bartending's an addiction for you.
I don't
know.
I mean, I do like to get back there every now and then. We've done it as long. It's like, all right, I haven't done it in a while. And it's like, but I'm kind of nervous that my chops aren't going to be as strong as they used to be. That's why I'm a little bit like, oh, boy.
And what do you define as chops? Speed? Efficiency? Drink making?
My speed. But we'll see. I don't mind. We'll see how it's all set up. I already was there at the establishment while I'll be working to...
You did a little survey, huh?
Yeah.
Oh, there you go. Mike Sarkowski, right. Our producer, has a note. Billy, are you going to be like Cruise in Cocktail?
I'm not going to be twirling shaking the bow tie. There's not going to be a lot of twirling the bow tie this year.
Yeah. Why not?
Actually, maybe I will twirl the bow
tie. Yeah, once a year. If you're only doing it once a year, you come out of retirement, you twirl the bow tie.
Well, I'm single again, so I can twirl the bow tie.
Yeah, you don't twirl it. You whip the bow tie, baby.
Yeah. Maybe I'll just wear a T-shirt that says, I love Brian Flanagan.
Who's Brian Flanagan?
He's Cruise in Cocktail.
Oh, yeah. Good call.
Oh! Maybe I'll get one made.
You're a secret Cocktail fan, are you?
Cocktails and dreams,
right,
my friend.
Right. What's he say? What's the guy saying? Cocktail? Coughlin's Law? Something like that?
Yeah, maybe we'll pull up a clip of that if we have one of the actor talking about Coughlin's Law.
Yes, Mike. While we're busy talking about nothing, can you pull up a little Cocktail Coughlin's Law for us?
We'd love
make
that.
Sure we have some show fodder later down the line tonight. Clay's missing, you know.
Yeah, Coughlin's Law. Maybe that's what this parade will be like. I don't know. I'm working with one of my best friends. So that I'm happy about. Like, he's the one who asked me to do it. And I'm like, all right, dude. And here's the best part about it. I'm no longer an employee at this establishment.
Mentioned this last week.
And at this point, I'm just helping out. So I don't have the pressures. Like, if somebody pisses me off, you know, then I will just unleash if I feel the need to.
See, as your friend and your brother, I'm a little nervous that you're kind of yearning for that. There's a weird thing
you
about
know, like,
you.
I want someone to get...
You're like the redneck with the gun that's like, come at me and see what happens. I just don't care anymore. Coughlin's Law. Why are you shouting Cocktail references at me with a handgun in your hand, sir?
Maybe I'll get a picture of the logo of the movie Cocktail, and I'll have that put on a silk screen onto a shirt, and on the back of it have Coughlin's Law and put two shamrocks, and I'll wear that while I bartend.
Irish Bumble Boy, where the name should be.
Irish Bumble Boy. Where the...
yeah.
Well, now you're talking. I didn't ask for a name tag.
Well, we're giving you one.
Oh.
They don't want to call you Cocktail Boy. Wouldn't you rather be Irish Bumble Boy than Cocktail Boy?
Somebody calls me Cocktail Boy. And they're getting, you know.
Yeah. Cocktail Boy! We get 15 green beers over here?
They're getting some Visine in their Long Island.
But I'll tell you what, Bill. If you have a shirt on that has Cruise from Cocktail on it, how do you expect people not to call you Cocktail Boy?
You know what? If they understand who Cruise is, I don't know. I don't even know if, like, millennials know the movie Cocktail.
They probably don't.
You know?
You're right.
So I don't think a lot of them will know. They'll be like, oh, that's that bartending movie that Cruise is in. And I'll go, Coughlin's Law!
We don't even know what Coughlin's Law is.
No, we don't know what it is yet.
We set the precedent for the show tonight, though.
Coughlin's Law?
Yeah, we're going to find out what that means at the end of the night. Anyway, you seem a little bit randy about the parade, a little excited, but you're also a little bit dangerous.
I think everyone's excited to go out to a parade and be in an environment like this. You know, no one's done it in 2 years.
Yeah.
It's like, all right, here we go. This is it, you know? But
yep. Listen, I haven't had a drink in 2 years. I have no yearning to go near it at
all. I know
all.
You don't. Yeah. You're like, get away.
It sounds awful.
Yeah, I asked you if you were going to take your kids out to it, and you were like, I don't think so,
and
sir.
I know, and we have, you know, Hibernian Media is our company that, you know, we have these two radio shows that are underneath that umbrella.
Sure.
Our entire mission is we're a 501c3, you know, so we're not-for-profit.
Right.
But we're committed to making content and engaging with the Irish diaspora in this country and making content that honors them and uplifts that experience of being an Irish American.
Sure.
I feel bad about the fact that I just can't get amped up for our holiday.
There's lots of Irish that are like
and
that.
And I don't think people in Ireland care about St. Patrick's Day very much anymore.
But I don't think it's as commercialized as it is. I mean, who am I to say that? It's very much commercialized there.
In Dublin, sure.
Yeah. But I don't know. I don't think there's as many freaks in Ireland as there are here.
Oh, Billy. What a gross misunderstanding you have. There's many freaks in Ireland, Bill.
I'm sure there are. Yeah.
Freaky Irish boys and girls.
Irish freak. Maybe I get that written on
the Irish
back,
freak, yeah.
Back of my t-shirt, Irish freak, and then it's just a picture of
you.
No, the cocktail, the movie logo. I'm sticking with that.
But you got to, yeah, but okay. See, there's a part of you that likes Cruise too, and then you're just not
Brian Flanagan? Up. Yeah, come on.
Anyway, you're right. I think a lot of people are going to come out for the parade? A fair amount. I going to bring my kids? But getting back to what I was saying.
Right.
I feel like there is an onus because we do have our company, Hibernian Media, to take my kids to events like that so that they can experience an event that actually, but are my question to myself now that I'm not a drinker anymore, when I go to those events, are they uplifting the Irish experience at all? Not really. You know, I mean,
I think they are to a lot of people.
What are kids learning about Irish culture from that parade, that go to that parade? The only thing they get out of it is leprechauns and beads and booze and hee-hee-hee. You know, they don't learn any history. There's much there.
I think what they learn is that they get to see a community of people rally around their heritage and to give thanks in celebration to what St. Patrick's did for the country of Ireland, all right, and for essentially all Irish Catholics. Mm-hmm. You know, it was more Catholic concentrated than anything when I think about it. So that needs to be, you know, celebrated for sure.
And 100%.
I think that most kids that grow up in their Irish households, that, you know, they're told this by their parents. You do something for St. Patrick's Day, you don't have to go to a parade. But the parade is like the easy way out.
Sure.
Like, I don't want to bake soda bread, or I don't want to do corned beef, or I don't want to do, you know, it's like.
Well, what I like about the families in Beverly out on the south side is that part of the tradition of their parade is that they did have a lot of house parties, kind of a community gathering, right?
For sure.
A lot of open door policy, a lot of backyard parties, and it is pretty family centered. You know,
oh, absolutely.
As the parade grew in popularity, the freaks started showing up and ruining it for everybody, right? Yeah. That happens at every parade. So maybe that's my bias towards the Forest Park Parade where we reside, that area. That would be our parade, the one that we go to.
Right.
That when it was smaller, I liked it. You know, I was like, okay, this is kind of cool. It's like all the, you know, the Irish Catholics in the neighborhood come out and they have a little parade and, you know, maybe a little backyard party and very family centered and fun. Right.
Mm-hmm.
Now that it's different. All right. Mm-hmm. The neighborhood's a little bit more yuppified than it used to be. The street has changed a bit. And it is sort of a midway point between downtown and the far western suburbs
mm-hmm.
that it has evolved into ridiculousness, you know, in my opinion.
Well, I think that's also because we worked in bars for so long.
Yes. My temperament for it is like at an all time low.
Yeah.
Like, I can't handle morons to begin with because I'm kind of a moron sometimes,
sure.
You know?
Sure.
But when I'm bombarded by thousands of them at once, it's too much.
Yeah.
And I don't want to expose my kids to it. That's what annoys me.
Mike asks, was it always an excuse to get drunk? Of course it was. You know, like, I don't know. Like, now I look at it and I'm just like, yeah, people still are like, drunk. Parade.
It's very kiddish. When I was a kid, when you couldn't drink, when you were like 19, 20 in college, you were like, yeah, we're getting up at 6 in the morning. We're going to drink all day.
I remember laughing that I was talking to a buyer of mine recently in one of his establishments, and we were talking about, you know, the parades and those kinds of things, and a gentleman was at the bar, and he was like, oh, man, I used to work at Rainforest Cafe down in, what is that, near
River North.
North.
Why would you want to go to Rainforest Cafe on St. Patrick's Day?
You wouldn't, but I remember, he's right. He's like, that whole area down there after the parade would just get like, it was like a sea of people everywhere out drinking, you know?
Yeah.
And he's like, and we'd get bombarded with all kinds of people that may have like, mostly tourists that were in town for the parade.
Yeah.
That brought their families to Chicago to experience it, you know? But, and then I laughed and I was like, it's funny that you brought that up. I go, I got, you know, served at Hooters. After the downtown parade when I was about 19.
Yes, a fond St. Patty's Day memory.
That is one that lives in infamy for me.
Right.
It was one of the, like, you know, yes, we're drinking in a bar and we're 19 and we're downtown in the city.
At Hooters!
At Hooters!
More importantly.
On Patty's Day.
Right.
I mean, does it get any better for, you know, a freaky kid?
Bill, nothing gets better than Hooters on Patty's Day. Nothing.
Yeah.
You might get some Hooters if you go to a Cork and Kerry Irish pub on St. Paddy's Day.
Maybe.
They exist. Ask Billy Guidy where to find those.
Are they covered in cardigans?
Maybe. Maybe not. It's a freaky day.
Sure is.
This show is presented to you by the Cork and Kerry Irish Pub. Go visit them this Sunday and every Sunday afterwards, especially on parade day. More Hooli's Hooli after these.
On the death walk of saloons that decorate Western Avenue, only the Cork and Kerry Irish Pub, the soul of Beverly, sits right on a 50-yard line of Chicago's Southside Irish St. Patrick's Day Parade at 106th and Western. Generations of Southside Irish have quenched their thirst in the Cork, snuggling up to memories of family, faith, and fierce loyalty to friends. It's the jewel of this neighborhood where we celebrated weddings, christenings, wakes, and unforgettable victories. Proprietors Bill Guidy and Mike Fitzpatrick, now celebrating 20 years in business, welcome you home for a cold brew, to share a good story, or help you throw one hell of a party. With over 20 beers on tap and a full bar for your pleasure, this is the spot you can sink a root and get your Irish on. Cork has plenty of seating, from our private event rooms to our 300-person beer garden. Our interior space brings you back to the homeland of Ireland with our vintage photos and authentic Irish decor and Chicago memories of the good old days. So say hello to a stranger, make a new friend, fall in love, or just enjoy the company of people you forgot you knew. The Cork and Kerry continues the Southside tradition parents and grandparents brought here from the old country. Come on by the Cork and Kerry and get some. The Cork and Kerry Irish Pub, 10614 Southwestern Avenue, for private parties, just pals hanging out, or intimate cocktail rendezvous. Come on home to the south side of Chicago at the Cork and Kerry.
When your family has suffered a loss, the Sheehy family will be there for you. Robert J. Sheehy and Sons Funeral Homes are third-generation family-owned and operated. The Sheehy family has dedicated many years of their lives serving families throughout Chicago and the southwest suburbs. The Robert J. Sheehy & Sons Funeral Home was incorporated in 1913 as a storefront at 76th and Halsted Street in Chicago. At the time, this was one of the few standalone funeral homes of its kind and was to be the first of many to come bearing the Sheehy name. The founder, Roger Sheehy Sr., was soon joined in business by his three sons, Roger Jr., Jack, and Bob. The four provided a personal service that became a foundation for success. This trademark of service is evident 98 years later, as Bob and Jim Sheehy, third generation, own and operate two locations in Orland Park and Burbank. As a family-owned and operated funeral home, the Sheehys believe the one thing that separates them from the others is the personal service they can provide. The name on their sign outside the funeral home should mean something. For them, it's very important that everyone be treated as if they were family, friend, or neighbor, as they very well could be. The Sheehy's entire staff consists of individuals who care about each and every family they serve. Every detail is handled in a professional and personal manner. On a daily basis, the directors Bill Kiley, Mike Arrico, and John Sullivan, and all of their other staff take great, great pride in their work, serving families as if they were their own. The Sheehys pride themselves on offering the highest level of professionalism with every family they serve. Robert J. Sheehy & Sons Funeral Homes, here for you since 1913.
If you're looking for an office in the loop, you gotta check out Integrated Office Suites at 20 North Clark Street and 455 North City Front Plaza Drive in the NBC Tower. IOS has an entire floor in these two very prestigious buildings, and they offer the best in executive offices, virtual business offices, personalized phone answering, conference room and day office usage, administrative support services, and customized packages with fixed monthly invoices. Integrated Office Suites are convenient and very classy. So get in touch with our friends at integratedofficesuites.com or call them at 312-561-2300 and tell them Skinny and Hooli sent you. That's integratedofficesuites.com, 312-561-2300. You'll be glad you did.
Hang in there. We're almost ready for some more of the Hooli's Hooli. Stay tuned.
Flood Brothers Disposal was started over 90 years ago by their grandfather. With more than 20 family members still involved with the day-to-day operations, the Floods are service-oriented and believe that the right way is the only way to do something. Flood Brothers is price competitive and still offers the personal touch in an industry-trending corporate. For client-centric service without all the corporate garbage, call Flood Brothers today for a quote on your solid waste, recycling, and yard waste collection services. Call Bob Flood today at 630-261-0400 or go online at floodbrothersdisposal.com.
Chicago Southsiders have always known where to get the best pizza on earth, Fox's Pizza. For over a half century, the Fox family has been creating that delicious thin crust za that your mouth will tell you, this can only be Fox's. It's a Chicago Beverly neighborhood institution at 99th and Western, as well as in South Suburban Orland Park, where they combine delicious food with an Irish pub ambiance. Fox's is owned by Tom and Frank Fox, whose parents, Frank and Therese, bought the Western Avenue location from Al Capone's sister back in 1964. The Fox family opened the doors to their Orland Park location in 1973 at 143rd and Ravinia Avenue. Chicagoans will recognize the stone turrets of their Irish castle, where great times have been celebrated for generations. Fox's is perfect for the whole family, pickup or delivery, or you can dine in, relax, and have a cocktail with your dinner. Whether it's steak, ribs, chicken, or especially pizza, it's all good. Having a party? Fox's also does catering. Call Fox's in Chicago's Beverly neighborhood at 773-239-3212 or in South Suburban Orland Park at 708-349-2111. Mention this show for a free toothpick.
Happy St. Patty's Day, everybody. Tonight behind the bar is Irish Bubble Boy, Billy.
Yeah.
He'll be serving shots and drinks all evening. Make sure you tip him handsomely.
See, I'd love to work at a bar where there was an announcer doing that kind
there
of
should,
stuff.
Every bar should be an announcer. Everybody having a good time? Good. Like, hey, shots sudden, just went on sale.
Yeah.
It's essentially what they have at strip clubs, but you just want to integrate it into
integrate
every bar.
Into every like bar, like in a corner, there's a guy with a microphone just going, don't get sleepy on me, you guys.
Right.
You know?
Hey, look who just came in the bar. A guy with a great t-shirt on.
Yeah. Look at those pants. Welcome.
Right.
You know? Long Island's $4 for the next hour.
Look at those pants. Welcome. Everybody looks at his pants. What's wrong with the pants? Why are you calling the guy's pants out?
Maybe he's a freak.
Could be.
Yeah.
You gotta be careful calling people freaks these days.
I know. It's kind of it's turning into one of those words, you know, that people are like, excuse me?
Right. I identify as a freak, and I am offended.
But freak?
Oh, I'm sorry.
But I don't, has that freak ever been something that people were like, thanks for calling me a freak?
Maybe in the Marilyn Manson universe, you know?
In the 60s? Yeah, in the 60s, if someone was considered a freak, it was like, whoa, you know?
Man, he's a freak, man.
And then in the 80s, it was like, he's a total freak. He's cool as hell.
Oh, what, 80 you know? Freaks were cool in the 80s?
I think.
And then 90s were like, shut up, freak.
90s got mean again.
Yeah.
Freak.
What a freak.
And then 2000, I mean, you know, we're living in an era in the 2000s now where, you know, I don't think freak's that bad anymore.
Oh, thank you, Randy Moss.
Why am I Randy Moss?
Because his nickname was the freak.
Oh, yeah. Wow. Maybe I wear a Randy Moss jersey while I bartend and people ask.
Irish freak.
Irish freak.
With an 80 for Randy Moss?
Yeah.
And a picture of Tom Cruise and cocktail.
And
the
cocktail logo still from the movie on the front.
Now
of the
we're designing some St. Patty's Day garb that the brands would be.
That's a big
in.
Thing. People always kind of think, like, what am I going to wear on parade day? That's always a big thing with a lot of people.
If guys like yourself.
Get your parade outfit ready. I got my Irish sweater. I got my green pants. I got my.
My Oakleys.
I got my Oaks. I got my Irish
or my
cap.
Ray-Bans.
Yeah.
Sunglasses are always like a thing on parade day, you know?
Oh, everyone.
All the yuppies have their very nice sunglasses and their vests on with their Irish cardigans underneath.
Do they?
Yeah. Uh-huh. The lace curtain ones do.
Uh-oh.
But then the freaks, you can tell them.
Yeah, they got all kinds of cool outfits.
They got the Newport t-shirts and free swag sweatpants and stuff on. And they're ready to freak out.
That is correct. So...
Yeah, go
during
ahead.
The break, you know, we had been mentioning, do we have the clip of Coughlin's Law? We were unable to find that, huh?
Yeah, that's copyrighted, Bill.
Is it? Yeah, it's not on YouTube, unfortunately. But if you get a chance, you know, rent the movie Cocktail and see that scene. But because there's a wonderful Aussie, I think he's Australian, Brian Flanagan's buddy in the movie. But
the bar owner? See, one of our listeners, like Christina Sharonis, who listens to this show.
Hi, Christina.
Yeah,
shout out to
her. She's going to be very offended that we don't know her cocktail knowledge. She strikes me as someone that would be able to know this immediately.
So would Linda Hofflinger, right? She would also know everything probably about Brian Flanagan.
Right, maybe but we're too to lazy to her. Use the internet on this program. We're not going to look it up away.
But I am going to look it up. I said, what is Coughlin's Laws?
Okay.
You know? And this
from the
up.
Film Cocktail.
No, this just is. I didn't say what is Coughlin's Law from Cocktail. We could look that up as well. But this just said, what are Coughlin's Laws?
Spell Coughlin for me.
Coughlin.
Okay.
All right. Here we go. You know, anything else is always something better. When you see the color of their panties.
Wait, slow down for a minute. Let's just not run through all the laws immediately. One by one. First one is what?
Anything else is always something better.
Anything else is always something better.
When you see the color of their panties, you know you've got talent.
When you see the color of their panties, you know they've got, you've got talent.
That's correct.
I muffed that.
Yeah.
No
beer is for breakfast around here. Drink or be gone.
Beer is for breakfast around here. Drink or be gone.
So yeah, there's, I mean, St. Paddy's Day, Parade Day is like the day to like try to live by Coughlin's Laws, right. I guess, for some people.
You're going to just start yelling that out? Drink or be gone!
Coughlin's Law!
Right. No talking of French kissing at the bar! Drink or be gone!
Yeah, that was another thing we were talking about outside, kind of, you know, the funny thing about these parades are, you know, you always run into, you know, there's so many huge Irish families, right?
There's a lot of eyes out on the street that day.
There's eyes out everywhere.
A lot of gossip fodder.
Sure, tons of
big
guys.
Shot
a
gossip.
Guy over on parade day over 1990.
Right.
Stuff that could haunt you for decades.
Right. He was French kissing somebody, and it wasn't his wife, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, right.
Drink or be gone. Coughlin's Law.
That's correct. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know? If you can see the color of her panties, you have talent, Coughlin's Law.
Right, you see the color of her panties, you have talent, Coughlin's Law. Oh, thank you, Mike. Oh yeah.
For Cocktail, yeah, sure.
Right. Hey, it's Parade Day.
So I hear this thing. Yeah. Yes, Parade Day.
Anybody fans of the film Cocktail?
Kokomo, right? Is that what this is?
Yeah. Yeah. This Maybe. Video made me puke. I think Stamos was in this video singing on stage for no apparent reason with the Beach Boys.
Stamos was in this?
John Stamos, yeah.
Oh. I thought maybe they did a video for Cocktail too. Like scenes from Cocktail, the movie in Kokomo.
Well, that's a whole nother episode, Billy.
Maybe.
We can go down that wormhole if we want.
But we were laughing about how there's always, like, at late at night, you know, on those parade days when you're bartending and you might get off your work and you're outside having a cigarette, you always run into, like, two guys in, like, a gangway. Or, like, you know, like
say
like,
what?
Like, smoking, talking to each other, like, you know, like, hey, listen. I know that she's your cousin, but Joey didn't mean to kiss her the way, and he didn't know, and you didn't know.
You're right. No, you are right
tons
about
of that.
That.
All day long, you hear that kind of stuff.
You see a lot of fighting, you know, arguing.
No, the
drunk arguing.
Yeah, it starts
How about
out
the
great.
People crying? They're so drunk, they're just crying.
Yeah, like, he doesn't love me.
Yeah, just a drunken sobber, you know? There's a lot of them.
I've seen sobbers before the parade even starts.
Yeah, just, like, just rocked. So rocked that they're crying all day. There's a lot of, that's a girl thing. That's like a 20-year-old girl thing. Like, yeah. And her girlfriends, instead of like taking her home to like comfort her, just parade her through all the bars while she just sobs the whole day. She's got she looks like she's been crying. Her cheeks are puffed out. You know, it's like, can we get Tracy a White Claw? She's having a rough day. It's like, take her home.
Then there's a guy. Know, like, then there's a guy that's just creeping. He's watching her all night. He's like,
oh my.
I'm going to get her a Jaeger bomb later. And I'm going to see if she'll French me.
Oh my God. This is the Richard Ramirez of Parade Day. Parade Stalker.
The Parade Stalker.
The Parade Stalker. What a sick thought. Now there's a comedy.
There's a great movie. The Parade Stalker.
Who do we pitch that to?
He does like,
well, wait.
He chronicles like six different parades. Like his age from, you know, 22 to 28 when he was a parade stalker.
Oh, you want to do like a Netflix like sort of docudrama series?
No.
Parade Stalker.
No, it's just a movie about how every year, like it's a quick, like everything in this guy's life revolves around Parade Day.
Ah.
And he's called the Parade Stalker, but, you know. We have all kinds of fun, weird things that we could write into the script.
Sure we could, Bill.
You know, things like,
oh, you want to continue the
French your cousin.
Bill's like, the bit's dying, I'm going to keep it going, and then Bill keeps going more. He goes, well, then maybe the movie's not like that, or it's like this, or it's like that.
I don't know.
The bit's dead.
Yeah, so there it is.
Totally dead.
Yeah. What else you got for me?
I mean, you're right, Bill. There is a lot, you do see a lot of the fighting on parade day
yeah.
and all that stuff.
Yeah.
And anyway, I'm not, you know, excited for it.
There's also stuff like, I haven't seen you since we were at that house party in 1996. How the hell you been?
I like guys like that. That's the best when you run into people like
Let's
that.
Let's do like 20 shots of J-Mo right
nah,
now.
Nah, see, that's where you don't. Yeah. There is a lot, like the crying guy and then the overly excited.
Crying guy?
Well, the other guy that I don't like on parade day is the overly excited parent dad. Who's
really?
Like, yeah, he's sometimes, well, at least in the neighborhood when we were working, yeah. He's wealthier, okay? And he's got like his daughters and his kids, and it's like his first time out drinking with them, you know?
Oh, okay.
So he's like cool dad, you know?
Oh, okay.
Cool dad is going to get cracked soon, you know? Because cool dad's usually a little overserved, but he's
well,
trying to show off.
Well, the parade stalker doesn't like cool dad.
The parade stalker is cool dad.
No, he's waiting for cool dad to go home.
Yeah.
Parade stalker's like, when's cool
dad? Hey, parade
dad,
stalker,
get out of here.
Hey, you're not creeping anybody out. What's the problem?
I'm waiting for cool dad to go home.
I don't want a fresher cousin.
I feel you. Yeah. I'm waiting for cool dad to go home, too.
Yeah.
Cool dad only left me a Finsky.
Right. Parade freak left me a 50. Because I pointed out to him which one hit the person well, who's most vulnerable.
That's definitely what's one thing in the movie. The parade freak, I mean, or, you know, parade stalker, whatever you want to call him, he's an incredible tipper.
Oh, okay. That's what masquerades him. That's why
he masquerades by just being incredibly helpful to people in the service industry.
You just got real dark. Real
dark. It's supposed to be dark.
Right.
You know? Maybe that's when we kick it in this song. Kind of, it's like, you know, the calm, you know, the...
Would you say maybe we kick it into calm?
Maybe we kick into this song now that we're saying...
kick into this song.
Yeah. So like in a dark scene in Parade Stalker, you know, later on in the evening, you know, because this song was used in State of Grace, the movie State of Grace.
Oh,
right?
Oh, you want to go right into a music? You want to do it right now?
I mean, we're talking about Parade Stalker, and we're talking about a scene that might take place...
But this song bears no resemblance to anything about serial killer people that hang out at parades.
It's called Drink Before the War.
Okay.
So, I mean, but it's almost romantic. But it's what Parade Stalker wants to happen to him at the end of the night. He wants to dance with the beautiful chick and, you know, the whole thing.
Billy, I am very, very confused and lost. Your brain works in very odd firing sequences.
Just trying to make it go along.
You're just trying to get the show over with.
Let's go.
We're supposed to play an Irish song. So this is something Parade Stalker might listen to before he goes to the bar because he's Irish and he likes parades and he likes Sinead O'Connor. Here it is, Drink Before the War. More Hurley's after this.
Oh, no, you're out of your mind. It won't happen.
Welcome back.
Yeah.
Sinead O'Connor, a little drink before the war.
Yeah, I give a shout out to my friend Heather Burns. She was jamming out to that a couple weeks ago. And I was like, oh, I haven't heard this song in a long time.
My condolences to Sinead O'Connor. She lost her son to suicide recently, and that's pretty awful.
Yeah, yeah.
So thinking of Sinead on the St. Patrick's Day, wishing well wishes to her.
Yeah.
That song is kind of ominous as to like what's going on in the world right now, too. Has nothing to do with cocktail or any of the parade freaks we spoke of. Parade stalkers.
The parade stalker.
What a crazy tangent this show has gone down already.
It always does.
You know what happened to me the other day?
Yeah.
Because that, you know, that song just reminded me of it. But Tuesday mornings in our community, they do the sirens, right? Where it's the air raid sirens for tornadoes and stuff like that. They test it.
Yeah.
It went off Tuesday this week, and I wasn't ready for it, and I hadn't thought about it. And a different kind of feeling waved over me. You know, only because of what's been going on with Ukraine and our dealings with Russia and the state of the world right now. I was like,
are we under attack?
Well, I think what it tells me is that subconsciously, I always say, well, I'm not worried about it. But there is something about me that's worried about it, right? Like, because all of a sudden you hear that siren and I just had a different visceral reaction than what I normally would have. You know, I actually stopped and thought for a minute and went, wait a second.
Yeah.
What is this? Yeah. You know, what's going on? Yeah. You know, and especially in a world that's so technology reliant now, you know, like if I had heard that siren and all of a sudden the internet just went, you know, and the power went, I'd be like, oh my God. You know, I'd be like, uh-oh, you know?
Yeah.
And the scary thing is that I guess in my frame of thought, that's too far from that, right? You see that happen in Ukraine. You're like, this maniac just went in there. You know, like that. You're like, would he do that to us? Would he do something like crazy? You know, and you do have to be a bit paranoid. So thank your stars and pray for the people in Ukraine this St. Patrick's Day and all month and in the future that they can weather this maniac and get through it.
Yeah.
Let's take a commercial break.
Okay.
More Hoolies Hoolie after these.
Chicago Southsiders have always known where to get the best pizza on earth. Fox's Pizza. For over a half century, the Fox family has been creating that delicious thin crust za that your mouth will tell you, this can only be Fox's. It's a Chicago Beverly neighborhood institution at 99th and Western, as well as in South Suburban Orland Park, where they combine delicious food with an Irish pub ambiance. Fox's is owned by Tom and Frank Fox, whose parents, Frank and Therese, bought the Western Avenue location from Al Capone's sister back in 1964. The Fox family opened the doors to their Orland Park location in 1973 at 143rd and Ravinia Avenue. Chicagoans will recognize the stone turrets of their Irish castle, where great times have been celebrated for generations. Fox's is perfect for the whole family, pickup or delivery, where you can dine in, relax, and have a cocktail with your dinner. Whether it's steak, ribs, chicken, or especially pizza, it's all good. Having a party? Fox's also does catering. Call Fox's in Chicago's Beverly neighborhood at 773-239-3212 or in South Suburban Orland Park at 708-349-2111. Mention this show for a free toothpick.
With a history going all the way back to 1896, the International Union of Operating Engineers has continued to protect workers and their families with loyalty and brotherhood. Local 150 has continued to thrive through economic booms and busts with careful training and aggressive organizing. Under the leadership of President and Business Manager Jim Sweeney, Local 150 has implemented programs and action plans to create work, protect benefits, and keep members working. And they've been helping the Irish-American community of Chicagoland for just as long. The Hibernian Radio Show is proud to be associated with Jim Sweeney and Local 150, and we salute the continuing efforts of the International Union of Operating Engineers and their support of Irish and Irish-American families now and in the future. Thanks to Local 150.
Don't touch that dial. The Hoolies Hoolie returns in just a moment.
Flood Brothers Disposal was started over 90 years ago by their grandfather. With more than 20 family members still involved with the day-to-day operations, the Floods are service-oriented and believe that the right way is the only way to do something. Flood Brothers is price competitive and still offers the personal touch in an industry-trending corporate. For client-centric service without all the corporate garbage, call Flood Brothers today for a quote on your solid waste, recycling, and yard waste collection services. Call Bob Flood today at 630-261-0400 or go online at floodbrothersdisposal.com.
On the Death Walk of Saloons that decorate Western Avenue, only the Cork and Kerry Irish Pub, the soul of Beverly, sits right on a 50-yard line of Chicago's Southside Irish St. Patrick's Day Parade at 106th and Western. Generations of Southside Irish have quenched their thirst in the Cork, snuggling up to memories of family, faith, and fierce loyalty to friends. It's the jewel of this neighborhood where we celebrated weddings, christenings, wakes, and unforgettable victories. Proprietors Bill Guidy and Mike Fitzpatrick, now celebrating 20 years in business, welcome you home for a cold brew, to share a good story, or help you throw one hell of a party. With over 20 beers on tap and a full bar for your pleasure, this is the spot you can sink a root and get your Irish on. Cork has plenty of seating, from our private event rooms to our 300-person beer garden. Our interior space brings you back to the homeland of Ireland with our vintage photos and authentic Irish decor and Chicago memories of the good old days. So say hello to a stranger, make a new friend, fall in love, or just enjoy the company of people you forgot you knew. The Cork and Kerry continues the Southside tradition parents and grandparents brought here from the old country. Come on by the Cork and Kerry and get some. The Cork and Kerry Irish Pub, 10614 Southwestern Avenue, for private parties, just pals hanging out, or intimate cocktail rendezvous. Come on home to the south side of Chicago at the Cork and Kerry.
Yep. Super freaky. Super freaky. A lot of people my generation go, you can't touch this. MC Hammer. Remember Hammer? Get some MC Hammer pants for parade day. There's going to be some guys with some Hammer
green
pants.
Green MC Hammer pants?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Cool Dad would have the MC Hammer pants on. I'm going to wear my green MC Hammer pants and buy all the kids shots. They're going to love me.
Maybe. There's always a guy, too, on parade day that, like...
Cool Yuppie Dad. Cud. Kid Cud.
Kid Cud.
There is a Kid Cuddy, though.
Yeah.
Kid Sid. CYD.
What's Sid?
Cool Yuppie Dad.
Oh, okay.
Look at all the Sids in here. This place is hopping.
It's getting city around here.
They're going to make sure all their daughters get French kissed by some parade stalkers.
It's getting pretty city around here.
Yeah, it's getting pretty city in here.
There's always a guy, too, on parade day that's like, he's so bombed, he wants to, like, think that he can Irish dance in the middle of your bar, too.
Yeah, he's an instant knockout. Like, you just walk up to him and just throw a big Karl Malone elbow under his head.
Parade Stalker does that.
Yeah. Hey, Sid, boom, box him out.
Parade Stalker takes him out because that guy is trying to impress Sid's daughter.
You just went to a place that has never been gone to on this program, or really? In most people's brains.
Good.
So I congratulate you.
No, it's gone through plenty of people's brains.
How about the guys on St. Patty's Day who are so drunk that they can't talk? They're like, right. What'd you want? Miller Lite. Give this guy a Miller Lite.
You know what's also funny? Like, you ever noted, like, people's money in their hands started out nice and crisp at one point during the day? You always get the guy that's, like, crumbled up down there in his pocket and throwing him on the bar. He's like, and he, like, drops, like, 8 crumpled dollars.
Yeah.
You're like, where is Parade Freak or Parade Stalker? Because I need this guy taken care of.
What's the rule? What are Coughlin's laws again? Pull them up again, so I got to read them out for the audience, make sure they remember. These are like the Ten Commandments.
They're pretty, you know, yeah, they're pretty close to that on parade day.
What is it, if you can see your panties, you're a wizard or something like that?
Anything else is always something better.
Anything else is always something better.
When you see the color of their panties, you know you've got talent.
When you see the color of their panties, you know you've got talent.
Beer is for breakfast here. Drink or be gone.
Beer is for breakfast here. Drink or be gone.
So there you go.
Coughlin's laws for St. Patty's Day.
Yeah, and stay away from the parade stalker. Don't get on his radar. Don't be hanging out with too many SIDS.
Right. Stay away from the SIDS.
If you stay away from the SIDS, parade stalker will leave you alone.
Right.
He won't be.
What happened to your buddy? Hey, caught a case of the SIDS down the street. Free drinks, you know.
Now he's trying... Irish dancing.
Now he's Irish dancing, and he can't even pronounce Miller Lite. You know, yeah. It's a real long day, kids.
Yeah.
How about this baseball deal? Are we going to get baseball?
I hope so. Yeah. I mean, I know that you're banking on it for some projects that you're working on, but yeah.
I am, indeed. And it's infuriating. I developed a show with a friend of mine that is for a sports network that is heavily, essentially, it's all about baseball. So
yeah, it's contingent on baseball.
Yes, and the show doesn't fly if there is no baseball.
That's correct.
So it has been a stressful moment for me. When this came out, like, months ago,
right?
Even when we shot the show.
For those people that aren't listening, there's a labor stoppage in baseball right now.
Right.
Yeah.
And it stopped right around the time that we completed the pilot. It's like it went into effect like the following day. Thank God we got the pilot in on time, you know?
Right.
That we were allowed to get those players to show up and shoot with us. But... now we're just sitting here holding our fingers and we're like, with our, you know, sitting on our hands and we're like, what's the deal? You know?
Right.
And our partners and prospective partners are like, we're not doing anything. We're not going to even indulge the thought of purchasing the show or greenlighting it until this is resolved. And we're like, well, it's hard because you're supposed to go into like production. Like, you know, we would have gone into production like in 3 weeks, you know?
Right.
And now it's like, when is this happening?
Yeah.
Is this going to happen?
Yeah.
That's why show business is... very dicey business. You can't count on anything. There's always some sort of bomb that goes off or some sort something. It's like truly, it is like the stars really need to align for something great to happen in the entertainment business for most people.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm hoping they will, you know.
Yeah.
You know, I got to get more SIDS involved, you know, interested in the show, talking it up, becoming brand ambassadors.
Yeah, right.
It's one of my favorite words, brand ambassador.
Uh-huh.
You know? Anyway, I'm hoping there's baseball,
and
I can't decide whose side I'm on, which is weird, you know? Like, it's a PR spin every other day. The owners are greedy pig billionaires. The players are being greedy. And then you fight about, you know, I don't think the public and the fans have been really, I don't think they understand what the beef is, a lot of it, you know? It's some of it is semantics, you know? But, a lot of it has to do with like league minimum and the players are fighting for the fact that like the younger rookie guys get crapped on in a $1 billion league until they become superstars. And they don't think that's fair per se.
Mm-hmm.
So they want to like level it out. They want, apparently baseball has the lowest league minimum of the four majors, baseball, football, basketball, hockey. It's like $675,000 a year league minimum. You know,
it's not too bad.
To play baseball, it's amazing. You know, everything's paid for you as far as travel accommodations and that kind of lifestyle. Like, that's a healthy little payday.
But I think the way that a lot of them look at it, the average lifespan of a professional athlete is anywhere from 2 to 3 years sometimes for most guys. So it's like, all right, well.
That's a huge gripe. One of the things.
Well, what if I have a career-ending injury and then I have to, you know, I can't work. I'll be on disability or something like that. And, like, is this salary for the last 3 years going to be enough to carry me for a lifetime? No way.
I don't know how long you have to be in the league to get vested to be a part of the players' union where you get a pension. I'm not sure what that rule is. I think NFL, it's three full seasons, not practice squad.
Certain amount of games on an active practice squad can
whatever
over a 6 year period, I think.
Yeah. The players want to bump it up to $775,000, I believe. The owners came somewhere in the middle. They couldn't agree. And the owners were like, we'll give you 700. They're like, nope, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So they're beefing about that. And then they want to implement a bonus pool for players like that. All right.
Right.
So every team needs to allocate, I think it was either $3 or $5 million. It might be five.
Mm-hmm.
Every team in the league would have to allocate $5 million to put off into this bonus pool.
Based on performance.
That is based on performance-driven numbers. So if a guy hits over 25 home runs, he makes a couple more mil. You know, he might be making league minimum that year, but he's incentivized to perform very well to make more money that might be equivalent to what some of these superstars are already getting on the field. So if you're making $1 million for every third homer you're hitting or something like that, after you hit 20, then you are making superstar money, you know? And that's the argument of the players, is that a guy could have a superstar career early in his career, never get superstar money because he kind of fizzles out a couple years later and doesn't get that contract that he might have gotten, right?
Right.
So they want to make it, you know, I guess fair in that. And the owners, I believe, agreed to do that. They're like, okay, maybe some of that. But it gets deeper and deeper into the way that the game has evolved from a distribution standpoint as well.
Sure.
With on-demand services and streaming services and the way that the MLB and the teams use the rights to these players and brand these, you know, they essentially own the licensing rights to these players. And the players kind of want to cash in on that.
Sure.
All right. They're like, no, you might own me on the field for a year, but that doesn't mean you can't use my likeness and image to, you know, market and make money on digital sales of merch or podcasts or shows or whatever, you know?
Right. Right.
So it's annoying, but I wish they would get through this. And I, you know, it doesn't look like it's getting in close anytime soon.
I hope they come close soon, man.
And do you think you'd ever see Scabs play in Major League? Would it go to that? Do you think that the owners could be that stickly to say, we're going to just stop it all? I don't think so either.
I don't think it'll get there.
I don't know.
Yeah. The Bulls, though, have been exciting. There's been some stuff to be excited about in Chicago sports.
Yeah.
You know, the Hawks named, they're officially named Kyle Davidson, the GM now.
Yeah.
So he's going to have his, you know, it's his era, even though this year was a tough year for a Hawks fan.
Yeah.
Hopefully, you know, they get it in check, and I know they're working diligently to do that, so I'm positive about the Blackhawks moving forward. Sox, that's the thing. I need my white Sox.
Me too.
You know?
That's why I want this thing to get over with and start.
Yeah, for all those people that are like, this is the year for the Sox to go to the playoffs again. They want to, you know. Bulls are going to the playoffs this year, I think, which is going to be playoff basketball finally in Chicago. We got March Madness coming up.
Yeah, I'm excited for the March Madness.
One of my favorite times of the year. For watching professionals. Well, it's not professional sports, it's college.
Yeah,
that's what's great about it.
That's what I love about it.
Yeah. So I'm looking forward to that. And that's about it, my friend.
For me. It's nice to get through February, isn't it?
I'm glad we're in March. You know, it was not an awful, awful winter, but it wasn't an easy one, I don't think.
It was gloomy, and the news is always so dark, and we've had, you know, the world's in chaos. And this February really kind of hit me a little harder than other Februaries in the past. I was like, maybe it's because I work from home, you know, and you don't get out enough. But I truly felt kind of isolated, and like it was dreary and snowed a lot.
Supposed to go to a parade.
Well, that's why you got.
That's what parades are for.
You're right. You know, maybe the parade will cheer me up.
Go to the parade. Right. Yes. I'll go with you.
Got to find me some SIDS to buy me some drinks.
Hey, can you get that Sid to get me a Guinness non-alcoholic, please?
Yeah. Hey, who's that cool yuppie dad with the $200 pair of Ray-Bans on down there? Ask him if he'll buy me a cocktail. Does he know Coughlin's Law?
He absolutely knows Coughlin's Law.
He's got it tattooed on his chest.
He wouldn't be a Sid if he didn't.
Yes, that's right. You wouldn't be a Sid if you didn't know Coughlin's Law.
Yeah.
If you're having trouble understanding what we're talking about, rewind a little bit in the episode, and it might make sense. Or you can go and find archives of this show if you've had fun in the last hour, because we're done.
That's it.
You can go to hibernianradio.org and find archives of the show there. Or you can find us on iTunes under Hooli's Hooli.
Yeah, we missed Clay this week. We'll get him back next week.
We did miss Clay.
I'm sure that he'll... I think the Northwest Side Irish Parade is also this Sunday. I'm not positive.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's this week or the following, but we'll have to find out. If it is this Sunday, we know that Clay O'Brien will be there. So he'll be able to report to us on that.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe he'll see some SIDS up there.
Oh, lots of them. Lots of them. Yeah. Do want to thank our sponsors again. That's the Cork and Kerry Irish Pub out in Beverly and in Bridgeport. Fox's Beverly Pizza.
Yep.
All South Side right there.
Yep.
Flood Brothers Disposal. And Guinness Irish Stout. Guinness is good for you. Hey, it's Houdini doing The Freaks Come Out at Night.
We'll see you next week.
Bye.
And it ain't till 12 till the party really starts. And I always had to be home by 10, right before the fun was about to begin. Crowds of people lined up inside and out, just for one reason, to rock the house. But in the daytime, the streets were clear. You couldn't find a good freak anywhere, 'cause the freaks come out at night.
They like to wear leather jackets, chains and spikes. They wear rips and zippers all in their shirts. Real tight pants and fresh mini skirts. All kinds of colors running through their hair. And you can just about spot a freak anywhere. But then again, you could know someone all their life. And might not know their freak unless you see them at night. Cause
the freaks come out at night. The freaks come out at night. The freaks come out at night.
Freaks come out. Jumping, the place is packed, and when the crowd's like this, I'm ready to rap. But before I could buzz around on the mic, freaks are all over me like white on rice. Freaks come in all shapes, sizes, and colors, but what I like about them most is that they're real good lovers. They do it in the park, they do it in the dark, but most freaks are known for breaking hearts. You can never tell what a freak is thinking of, and you may never catch a freak without at least one glove. They don't walk, when they step, they strut. And 9 times out of 10, they drive you nuts. So take my advice, you don't stand a chance. Freaks are so bad, they got their own dance. So if you wanna live a nice, quiet life, do yourself a favor, don't come out at night. Cause
freaks come out at night. Freaks come out at night. Freaks come out at night.
Freaks come out.
Freaks come out at night.
Hut, hut, hut,
freaks come out at night.
Everybody, have a good time. Get a good show. Work it out now. Everybody.